But we begin with life after the White House. Last week, after a long hiatus from the news cycle, a familiar voice resurfaced.
It's the honor of a lifetime to lead a country as brave and as noble as the United States. Whatever challenges come before us, I will always believe our nation's best days lie ahead. God bless.
A kind of unprecedented emotional display there from President George Bush at the opening of the Presidential Library and Museum built in his name. It was the first we'd heard from Bush, the younger, after 4.5 years of relative seclusion. The library dedication made for an unusual sight. Past presidents Jimmy Carter, Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Bush Jr., and current President Barack Obama standing shoulder to shoulder on one stage. Besides cycling around for photo ops, former American presidents have taken on a number of roles after leaving the Oval Office. And here to talk about life after the presidency is political junkie and NPR political editor Ken Rudin, who you can hear each Wednesday on Talk of the Nation. Ken, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. Great to be here.
So what were there before photo ops, I wonder? Portrait ops?
Well, there wasn't even that. I mean, you know, a lot of presidents, when they left office, they were completely forgotten. They didn't have Secret Service protection. I think when Harry Truman left the White House in 1953, he just drove home to Independence, Missouri. I mean, they just got in the car and left. And it's kind of just weird. I mean, you know, they didn't have these libraries back then. They didn't have all these celebrations and remembrances. They kind of faded away, and sometimes they deliberately just stayed by themselves and stayed out of the news. But some of them were just itching to get back because they were so powerful at one point. They just missed it and didn't want to let it go at that.
Hmm. I wonder what it was like for you, Ken, the political junkie.
You mean when I was president? When I was former president?
Yeah. You've really turned it into quite a good career for yourself.
Yes. We'll talk about that some other time, yes.
Well, what was it like for you, the political junkie, hearing Bush emerge from this cone of silence he's been under?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are some presidents who, when they leave office, they immediately or pretty soon go on the attack. They become very political. Harry Truman, as bad as his ratings were when he left the White House, he was very critical of Eisenhower. Jimmy Carter, of course, was very critical of everybody, of Democrats and Republicans alike. But George W. Bush is interesting. He just stayed out of it. He would not criticize Obama. He wouldn't even second-guess him or assess his presidency. It's very unusual to see a former president just fade like that. But look, he left office with dismal numbers. I mean, not as bad as Jimmy Carter, not as bad as Herbert Hoover and Richard Nixon, and they all came back. But Bush, I guess, wanted to stay out of the limelight. And, of course, there's also a possibility that another Bush may be looking at the White House and maybe George W. Bush wants just to stay out of that as well.
Uh-huh. It's a little surprising, though, to hear him let down his guard. But I guess an ex-president can do that. You don't have to hold the stiff upper lip in the same way.
Well, actually, most presidents don't keep a stiff upper lip. I mean, if you think of what Jimmy Carter has said about both predecessors and successors in the presidency and how they're doing it wrong and how nobody could do it as well as he could have, even though his presidency was considered a failure, although his post-presidency was considered exemplary. So you know, Carter knew the way he wanted to do it. Of course, Harry Truman was like that too, left office in 1953 extremely unpopular, and yet he never minced words. He was completely feisty. And I think the reason that both, well, certainly with Truman, the reason he became so popular, at least with Democrats, is because he spoke his mind and he just didn't shy away from wading into any kind of controversy.
Is it pretty much standard to write a memoir after being president?
They seem to do that. Of course, more and more we're seeing that younger presidents people who are leaving the presidents are younger than ever. You think of Obama.
He's
going to
be 50, 65? I'm sorry. What will he be? 55.
He will be young. Exactly. He'll be young. George W. Bush is young. And Bill Clinton, of course, is young. And you know, you think of like Eisenhower, who left office when he was 70. Reagan was nearly 78 for the most part. They've had their 4 years or their 8 years, and they've had enough. But for some of these young guys, and you know, you could say that Carter, Bush, Clinton, and to be Obama are all pretty young when they leave the presidency, and there's a lot to be done.
Well, many U.S. presidents, you just referred to Carter, have enjoyed greater popularity out of office. He really has become known as a statesman, a Nobel Prize winner, among other things. How does that transition happen?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think, first of all, he was thunderstruck when he was defeated. He got overwhelmingly rejected by the American voters in 1980. He had 34% approval rating when he left. He was thought as weak. The inflation was high. He was sort of indecisive. I mean, I remember when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, his reaction was to boycott the Olympics, and the only people who suffered there were American athletes. There were a lot of things he just did wrong, and American people said, Ronald Reagan, for all you know, the efforts to make him sound like a right-wing crazy guy, Reagan offers the calm and a sure hand that Carter didn't. But, you know, he went back. He worked as a woodcutter for a while, but his character, Jimmy Carter's character, shown through at the end, talking about human rights, talking about housing for the poor, the Habitat for Humanity program he did. I mean, sometimes he could pretend he's Secretary of State, and sometimes he can get under the skin of some presidents, as he did with Bill Clinton when he went around meeting with Fidel Castro in Libya and all those things. But the decency of Jimmy Carter is what a lot of people remember, not so much the disaster of 1977 to 1980, but what he's done since then. And I think, you know, that's a tough thing for if George W. Bush is going to be remembered the same way, because right now his numbers have not really rebounded much since leaving the office after 2000.
We're speaking with NPR.
I'm sorry, 2008 to 2008, of course. Yes.
We're speaking with NPR political editor Ken Rudin. We're talking about the lives of former presidents, recovering from presidency, if you will. Well, you just mentioned Bush Jr. To what degree does the presidential legacy influence their public life after presidency? I'm thinking, you know, for George W. Bush, the war on terror, quote unquote, was a hallmark for him. The media went to him after Osama bin Laden was captured. He did come out briefly for the 9/11 10-year commemorations, but haven't really heard that much from him. So what does the legacy mean for their political legacy mean for the rest of their life? Do you either curb away from it, you know, pick up painting, what?
Well, remember when Nixon left? I mean, Nixon left completely broken. He was thrown out of office, or he left office before he was thrown out of office, and he just went back to, you know, California, then later to New York, and sulked, and really was just very depressed. He wrote his memoirs, but a lot of people didn't pay attention to it. He went on to David Frost. He had that famous interview with David Frost, and he tried to become this foreign policy spokesman, but ultimately nobody could forget Watergate. And so as much as Nixon tried to rehabilitate his image, they just couldn't forget about, you know, what caused him to leave the presidency to begin with. And that's what Bush has to face. There were a lot of good things he did, the No Child Left Behind, his battle to fight AIDS around the world. I mean, there is a legacy that he can be proud of. But again, you know, when you think of the Bush years and the end of Bush years, you think of Iraq and whether the war was right. You think of the collapse of the economic system and what was going on with the banks. So Bush, you know, just like it took Truman a long time, it took Carter a bunch of years. It's going to take George W. Bush a long time if those numbers can never come back.
In fact, that was sort of a joke at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last weekend. At one point, President Obama joked that after leaving office, he is going to build the Blame Bush Library next to the official Bush Library, which is basically a giant billboard with a red arrow that says, "It's his fault."
And that Jimmy Carter has made a career of that. Aside from the good things he's done, he has made a very good career, a successful career of pointing fingers. But Bush Jr. has not done that. He's been very cordial. He's been very respectful of Obama. And there are some Republicans who probably say, you know, he's not a real Republican because he should be standing up to Obama like the rest of us are. But that's not in his nature. Again, you know, I know that, you know, if you think of what Obama said about George W. Bush in the 2008 campaign, and then you see him at the library saying all these nice things, well, sometimes you have to bite your lip a little bit. But I guess, you know, to coin a phrase, history is for the future, and we'll just see what the Bush legacy looks like. But we can't decide what it is now.
All right. We've talked a lot about modern presidency. We've got a minute or so left with you, Ken. I'm just wondering about any notable turns in past presidents, either 20th century or, of course, beyond before that. Any ever run for another office, for example, or other notable second acts?
Well, the only person who's ever done that, and Virginia, you should certainly remember this, John Quincy Adams.
Of course I do.
You were a kid then, but he ran for the House from Massachusetts. He served 17 years. No other former president ran for office. Bill Clinton was talking about him running for mayor of New York City. Herbert Hoover had envisioned about running for the presidency again, but no former president had ever run for office again. They really want to just work on how history will regard them, and some have succeeded and others have not.
Well, Ken, I guess we'll run into each other at the dedication of the Ken Rudin Memorial Library soon enough.
Yes, I'll make sure to I'll write the history of that, please.
Make sure I'm on the guest list. NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can hear Ken on Wednesday's Political Junkie edition of Talk of the Nation. Now, coming up, Jane Austen, grandmama of game theory. We're going to take a turn about the room and come back with that story and more after Word of Mouth returns.